Welcome to this week's episode of Board Women. I'm the founder, Caroline Keelock, and in every episode, I speak to women in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond who are picking up board sports to increase their confidence.
It's just pure presence. When you're in that flow with the surf and like with the ocean, it doesn't even matter who you are or what your name is. Like everything else kind of falls aside and it's just you and nature and it's just beautiful.
This week, I'm really excited to speak to Dani Unway. She's a psychotherapist and surf confidence coach. And I most wanted to speak to her because so much of her thinking aligns with my own in starting Board Women. Okay, so first of all, welcome to the Board Women podcast, Dani. It's really lovely to have you.
Oh, thanks, Caroline. It's so lovely to be here. I'm really excited.
So just for the listeners to understand, Dani and I were connected on Instagram, I think, for the first time. And what really struck me about what Dani's doing is that she's a trained psychotherapist, but that she actually combines it with confidence in surfing. And that aligned with so much of what Board Women is about that I was really excited just to get you on and have a little bit of a chat about what you do.
Instagram is great for that. And I'm really glad that we met. And it just, seeing what you're growing as well, like it seems to really align. So it's lovely.
So the first thing that we ask all of our guests is this illustrious question of, when did you last fall?
Well, I guess because I'm a surfer, first and foremost, I fall all the time. And actually falling for me, I love falling because I have to fall to kind of get off the wave. I don't do it as smoothly as a lot of the pros do. So I'm always falling not so smoothly. So, and falling for me is like, it actually proves to me that I'm pushing myself and that I'm actually trying new things. And actually it's when I'm not falling or when I'm not messing up, I deal with that in a worse way than I do when I'm actually falling. Yeah. So it's like when I'm holding myself back off waves and I'm not going for it. So when I'm actually falling or when I'm really having like a bad wipeout, I kind of always come up and congratulate myself because I'm like, you went for it, you fell again. So it's when I'm not falling that actually I find that harder to deal with.
I can totally relate to that. At the moment, I'm having a little bit of a rut with my skateboarding. And it's since having a really big fall and then kind of being a little bit nervous coming back into it. And I'm having a whole period of just being a bit stuck in what I always do. And I was chatting to my instructor about it this morning and we haven't had a lesson in a while. And I was just like, I know I need to fall more. I know I need to just like, you know, bounce a bit and get back up and I'm not doing it enough. And that tells me that I'm not progressing and it's annoying. And
It's hard.
I'm with you. I get frustrated.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. Yeah. I feel you.
So for our listeners, can you tell us a bit about what your business does and how you combine? Mm-hmm. I know you're trained as a personal trainer, a yoga teacher, a psychotherapist, you know, how does it all combine with the surfing world?
So I would say I'm a psychotherapist with a small client base of one-to-one clients. And I also offer group work like women's sharing circles. I am a surf coach. So I do in-water surf coaching, but not in the winter because I can't deal with the cold. When I'm surf coaching, I'd rather surf myself. And I'm also now a surf confidence coach. So I help people with the mental and emotional side of surfing to help them have a better experience when they're actually in the water.
So you only started surfing in your 30s. Are you 41 now? Is that right?
Yeah. So I'm 41 now. And I started for the first time in my early 30s. And then there was a bit of a gap. But I was in my adult life, so later on in life.
And what brought you to it then?
I went through a breakup and a few of my girlfriends did as well. And we decided, as you do, we're going to go traveling and we're going to find ourselves. So we did. And it was a bit of a random combination of places that we went to. So we first stopped off in Portugal, in Cascais, and did a surf and yoga retreat there. And that's where I first stood on a surfboard. And that's where I first discovered surfing. And sadly, it took a little while to then get back on a surfboard. But it was maybe about a year or two later I went to Bali and then kind of had a few more lessons. I stayed there for a month and kind of progressed a little bit. I was out back, but I was like on a foamy and kind of progressing with an instructor. So the safety of kind of having an instructor and I think still being pushed into waves as well. And I was still in that phase where I was a bit cocky. So I was like, oh yeah, I can do it. I can do this. Like, yes, let's take this big wave. And I tried and spent all my money. I tried getting down to Cornwall as much as possible. I was in London at the time and I just, you know, like try and get down to Cornwall like maybe twice a month or once a month. So it was quite difficult because obviously I'd found this thing that was, I mean, it really felt like it was a life-changing experience, like discovering surfing. It felt like up until that point, even though I had been doing some work, I'd been doing my own psychotherapy and I'd discovered yoga, which was amazing, and meditation as well. I'd done some meditation courses. But it was almost like when I found surfing, it was like it became this anchor to like who I was as a person. It just became this driving force to help me like make decisions. And it just felt like the first time in my life, there was something I just felt so passionate about. And it wasn't related to someone else. And it was purely mine. And it just felt like this like incredible like love affair. And I just, for the first time in my life, just felt completely like independent and I felt powerful. I think it really like allowed me to access this like power inside me and this like courage. Yeah, I just can't even describe it. Like it's, yeah, it's like what surfing means to me. It's almost like I can't put that into words.
Tell me how it feels when you go surfing and let's, you know, get you to close your eyes and imagine you're paddling out. How does it feel?
Yeah, it's I usually ask people this question, so being on the other side of it is quite interesting. Yeah, I mean, to me it's just pure presence. Like when you're in the flow, because obviously sometimes you're not, but when you're in that flow with the surf and like with the ocean and things are just like working out and you're on that wave, it's like nothing else matters. It's like it's pure freedom. It's literally like you're just totally in the present moment and like nothing else exists. It's like the past doesn't exist, the future doesn't exist, and it doesn't even matter who you are or what your name is. Like everything else kind of falls aside and it's just you and nature, and it's just beautiful.
It's making me want to get out on the water.
I know, me too.
So you said that you started to combine the psychotherapy with surfing because you were asked originally to do these confidence workshops and you felt like it really just aligned with your purpose. What are some of the things that come up in those confidence workshops that have really struck you?
There's always new things that people bring, but there are like some real, the same things that come up time and time again. So I'd say that imposter syndrome is like a massive thing. Most of my workshops, it's for women, even though sometimes I open it up to everyone. It's mainly women that that sign up. So it is, it's this imposter syndrome. It's fear and anxiety, maybe from a past scary incident, like people recovering from scary incidents. Like you just said with your fall that you had, it can just knock your confidence so much. Like crowd anxiety is a big one, like fear of bigger waves. It's just people also really struggling with their inner critic. So they're just beating themselves up so badly. Like some of the things that we say to ourselves inside our own head is just, it's just nasty. Like we're bullying ourselves, basically.
I've read about the fact that you said that the struggles in surfing often align with the struggles that you may face in life. Mm. Do people come and it starts being about the surfing, but actually it's about much more than that? Like, is that a lens to kind of talk about bigger issues for people, do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, and I actually really love it because people that might not necessarily consider coming to like a group therapy session are more likely to come to a surf confidence session, but they're not actually that dissimilar. And I always take a box of tissues because there's almost always tears. And as soon as one person starts, it like invites other people to open up. And it's just this kind of epidemic of everyone just releasing. And it's beautiful. So yeah, it often becomes about what is going on in our lives. Because like what I find and in my experience, and not for everyone, obviously, like, you know, it is different for everyone. So some people might not experience this, but I have heard this a lot that, you know, when we go out and surf, whatever's happening in our real lives, it's almost like an exaggeration of what is going on in our lives. Because I think when we feel such highs in surf, and especially like that in that honeymoon period, like especially when we catch that first wave, it's this high that we're then constantly chasing. And because we felt such a high, like we have to feel the lows with it. And the higher the highs, the lower the lows. And so I feel like that is why in surfing, especially, our emotions are so exaggerated. And it's almost like our capacity to feel grows within surf.
It makes total sense. One of the things you wrote about on a post that I really connected with, and it would be great for you to talk through, is the relationship with surfing as this kind of cycle from first date to acceptance. Do you think you could talk us through each of the stages that you've outlined? Because I find them really interesting and I really related to them.
Yes, I can. I just think that surfing is so similar to a romantic relationship, and with all the stages that come with it. So we kind of start off with obviously the first date, and we're a little bit nervous and we don't know what to expect. And, you know, like even just getting in the wetsuit is like, oh my God, like I've put it on inside out and back to front. And, you know, we're already kind of like bag of nerves, full of anticipation. And then, you know, we get in and, you know, it's like meeting that person that we really click with, and you catch that first wave and like everything makes sense and the nerves are gone and you're just totally present and you're just feeling so at one with nature and you're just literally like, you cannot wait for the next session and you're already completely hooked. So then, you know, everything becomes about surfing. You're in your honeymoon phase, like you're researching surfing, you're watching surfing videos, you're like buying the gear, you're like checking the forecast, like you're doing everything you possibly can to get back to surf. And surf can do nothing wrong, like you're just completely obsessed. You know, you're in the honeymoon stage and you can spot the honeymooners a mile off as well. Like they just have beaming faces. They haven't had that conflict yet. They haven't had that scary incident yet. And they're just like bombing it down really big waves, you know, and just like they have, it's almost like an overinflated confidence because you haven't reached the next stage yet, which is like the scary incident stage. And this is like having your first row and you're like, oh my God, like there are faults in this. Oh my God, like, you know, kind of your world comes crashing down. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, it crushes you because, you know, you might be injured, you know, you might, even if you're not physically injured, you might have an emotional wound and that will take time to heal. So you then have to go through this kind of stage of like reestablishing your relationship again and really working on it. Like it then takes work. All of these stages, just to also caveat, are not, I wouldn't say they're mutually exclusive and I wouldn't say that they're particularly linear either. So everyone might experience them differently. And there's also probably many more stages and phases that other people experience, but these are the main ones. So after the conflict stage, I kind of identified like the breakthroughs and breakdowns. So you can kind of reach this point where you're like, oh my God, I like had this breakthrough. Oh my God, I managed to, you know, like actually like do a little turn. Or my pop-up's really improved. But it can be really closely followed by like a breakdown and like have a really bad session and you're in tears walking off the, you know, walking down the beach, just like wanting to give up surfing altogether. So it's like this real like highs and lows and it's quite like turbulent and it's like addictive because it's like, you know, you're so addicted to the highs, but then you can't deal with the lows. And yeah, so it's just pretty turbulent. And then you can get to the stage where, you know, you've been doing it for a few years or you've been, you know, if you link it back to the relationship, you know, you're getting the 3-year itch. Things feel a little bit boring, like you've plateaued, like you're just not progressing. You just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Like nothing's happening. You might be regressing even a little bit. It just feels a bit monotonous. And like, where is that joy that I felt for this thing that, you know, literally was like the apple of my eye like a few years ago. And that's where I'm at the moment, by the way, the plateauing. It's very frustrating.
It is.
And then I'm in plateauing and I am like teetering on, I'm really trying to find somewhere to reach this like stage of acceptance. So I'm really, really working towards this stage of acceptance. And the acceptance stage is like the enlightenment stage of surfing, you know. It's really like practicing acceptance, like where you are right now. So you're not in this frame of mind where you're like, oh my God, I want to be this surfer. Like I want to be this better surfer. Like this is where I want to be. Because every time you're doing that, you're just dismissing where you are right now. And you're also dismissing your experience in the now. So you're actually not being present with your in your surf session right now. So you're not making the most of the present moment. So practicing acceptance is hard, but I think that's the key, and that's what I want to help people with, is accepting themselves as a surfer where they are. And obviously in my therapy, well, in my therapy, it's accepting people, you're helping people accept themselves where they are in life and as a person. So this acceptance is like the holy grail, basically, that I have been there, but I'm not there right now.
The correlation is so interesting, isn't it? Because I think you do, like when you first start, because you're starting potentially from such a bad base, like the winds come thick and fast, don't they? And and it's like any form of drug or alcohol or anything like that, you don't achieve the same level of high in a linear way from then on. And then I was having this chat with someone the other day, because it's, okay, well, will I just keep getting better and better and it's iterative, or will I have to accept that maybe there's a point where I don't want to do what it takes to get better next, you know, because that next thing is too scary, or you know, just so outside my comfort zone that even iteratively I might not get there. And what happens then? Like, do I get bored of it because I'm not learning anymore? Or do I just, like you say, come to a level of acceptance that it's just enjoyable to go, and I might be a similar level for a long time after that? Or, you know, the iteration will be tiny in comparison.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I think somewhere at the bottom of all of it, it's just, is it fun?
And if at the
moment where we're thinking about all of this to such a degree that we're so concerned and stressed about it, it kills the fun, then I feel like, you know, then we've possibly lost the plot a little bit, because that's why I was doing all these things in the first place. But you do think about it.
Oh my goodness. That's so true. It's like, you know, we do these things. We do this because it's fun. You know, we want, and then it becomes so serious. So it's like after the honeymoon phase, it's almost like we lose that and we have to then just reestablish that relationship again. And I think what you're saying is really interesting. And I really agree with that, that at first you've obviously got this amazing thing that you've discovered, plus the highs that you're getting from learning something new. You know, everything combined is like, you know, it's like this high that, you know, you're just constantly then chasing, because, you will get to a point where, you know, I don't want to go out in 8-foot waves because it actually makes me feel really scared. And I don't want to feel that. And I'm finding as I'm getting a little bit older, I don't know whether it's an age thing or maybe it's just a more of an acceptance thing. Like I've pushed myself out in bigger waves and it was fun at the time. And I think I was in the right frame of mind at the time. But now I just couldn't think of anything worse than going out in those conditions. And I don't know whether that's me forever or whether it's just a phase. But it's just practicing acceptance there. And, you know, some of the conditions I go out in now, I wouldn't even bat an eyelid at them like a year ago, but they are making me feel more frightened. And it is just, it's being accepting of that.
You said obviously that despite the fact that you brand these as open sessions when it comes to gender, it's more women.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, first of all, do you think as women, we overthink this stuff a little bit more? Mm-hmm. And secondly, have you seen any difference in the age of the women coming through and how they're dealing with these stages and the overall confidence journey?
I don't necessarily think it's a case that men aren't feeling fear. I think that the fear is present, whoever we are. I think it's just we're more connected to maybe feeling our emotions or also being willing to talk about them openly. So I think this stigma that still exists, sadly, that still exists around men and these preconceived ideas we have about, you know, like men being strong and, you know, kind of not speaking openly about their emotions, and women being more nurturing, and, you know, those kind of just gender stereotypes. It does play out in surf, like it does, as it does in life. And I do think that men can push through that fear more than women can, because we are just more connected to it. And sadly, that then also holds us back a little bit more, I think, in surf, just because we're more tuned in with it, which isn't a bad thing, because, you know, fear is there for a reason as well. You know, it's there to keep us safe. It's just when it starts becoming irrational, and like you said, if we start overthinking it, which I kind of describe as like maybe like negative thought spirals, where we start spiraling, and then we kind of have lost, again, we're not present, we've kind of left the experience, we're actually not inside our own bodies anymore, we've actually kind of left the building, like we're no longer present, we're actually like worrying about the future, worrying about maybe like having an accident and what will happen, you know, I'm not there for my kids, or I can't be there for my family, like this. So because we feel responsibility more, that might come into play as well, like what happens if I have an accident, and then that fear is kind of exaggerated, like the what ifs can cause these negative thought spirals, and that can then hold us back more, I think.
Do you think it's exacerbated as we get older?
I think it's to do with responsibilities in life. And I think it's to do with gained awareness and our kind of growth, personal growth. I think the more we become aware, as we kind of naturally do as we age, become wiser, and we have more life experiences, and in those life experiences, they can cause us just to become a little bit more fearful, because we've got more evidence that bad things can happen. So I think that's something to do with age, but then also it's such a gift, you know, like this awareness and actually having had all these life experiences is a huge gift. Like I think awareness, self-awareness is like an actual superpower.
You speak about surfing being 50% you and 50% the surfing, and about how important it is to show up appropriately. Can you talk to that a little bit? Because I think that kind of preparation beforehand and it not just being in the moment is something that's really interesting.
Yeah, so again, you know, like in my therapy work, we like to talk about relationships, or I guess romantic relationships, but it can be any relationship, you know, family member or a friend. But if you think of the relationship as 100%, and then each person or each part in the relationship has to show up and do their 50%. And sometimes you can maybe expect a little bit too much from one party, and you might not really be showing up and doing your 50%. So, you know, if you think of surfing as one part of that, like surfing is there, like when the conditions are there, obviously, like when there are waves, surfing's there, the ocean's there, the waves are there, you know, all the benefits that it can offer are there. They're there for your taking. So that's surfing's 50%. And your 50% is, it's just being in the right mindset. So, you know, being prepared for surf and doing all the things that you can do to show up in your 50%, that's your responsibility, so that you can actually receive all those benefits and all the joy and all that amazingness that surf wants to offer you. You're in the best frame of mind to actually receive it. You know, if you're not doing the meditating, or if you're not doing your affirmations, or, you know, if you're in a bad mood, you've showed up in a bad mood and you've not made any effort to prepare yourself or do some breathing beforehand to get yourself in the right frame of mind, then surfing can't give you what it wants to give you. And it's just not going to work.
It's so funny. I was chatting to someone about this last night. So because I think some of this applies to other board sports as well, in terms of that attitude. And And I was saying, we have a local skate park here and it's actually closing down this week for refurbishment. So everyone was there last night, super sad, because it was the last night and we've all been going for a long time. And I think everyone came with their own little intention of what they were going to achieve because it was the last night, and therefore quite a bundle of pressure. And therefore, you know, like, just I will get this done, as if skating's literally going to disappear afterwards. And and I was saying that sometimes I turn up and I can be in the foulest mood because it's on a Monday night, it's 8 till 9:30, I'm exhausted, I've had to drive 40 minutes to get there, like, you know, it's a bit of a mission. And sometimes it totally sorts me out, and it doesn't matter how bad a mood I turn up in, it's the solve for me because it takes my mind off things. And other nights, like last night, where I obviously went with a, I will do this and I won't be scared about doing this particular move and I will just crack it, I couldn't in any way, shape or form crack anything I wanted to last night. And I was so cross about it. And I chatted to my skate instructor about it this morning, and he was like, you know, I just have that sometimes where I know on the way my body's not quite up to it today, or my mind's not quite up to it today. And if I go in with that thought, I'm kind of going in with low expectations, and often it's good. And he said, but when I go and I'm really determined that I'm going to get something done, sometimes it's just the opposite. Like, and it just, you know, it just almost teaches me, puts me back into my place a little bit.
Totally. Oh my goodness. Yeah, totally. And that's exactly right. Like, I think, you know, when I say show up in the right mind frame, like, obviously that's not always going to be possible and that's not always going to work. Like, all this stuff isn't always going to work. But I think a key thing there is what you just said. It's around expectations and intention. Yeah. So if we're going in with these huge expectations, like, okay, I've done all my prep, like I've done my affirmations and I've done my goal setting, like what I want to achieve, and oh my god, the conditions are amazing and I'm going to catch the wave of my life, and like, you know, you're going in with this mindset and your expectations are like off the scale because you get so excited and because you love surfing, obviously they're going to be. But it's managing those expectations, and it's really managing, this is the key bit, your attachment to those expectations.
Yeah.
And it's trying to create some separation. Like, yes, those expectations are there, but how attached are you to them? And how much is that going to affect your mood if you don't achieve them? And can you actually just step back a little bit, like zoom out and like set an intention that actually maybe I'm just going to have fun today.
I was going to say I wish I'd gone last night with a, I just want to have a fun last night and let's just kind of see what happens. But because I'd gone in with a, no, I'm going to do this, I'm really a bit cross with myself that I haven't done it so far, this is the night. It was obviously not to be that night. And I was like, okay, fine. But it's good. I've learned.
And the irony is, you know, when we have these expectations and this longing, this real longing to achieve something and like, you know, be a better surfer, like when we're so attached to it, that is what gets in the way. The want of it is actually the blocker. That's the irony of it. It's like our want of things often is what actually gets in the way of achieving them.
So obviously, you know, it's one thing being the person with all the theory around all of this, but it's also about how you apply it yourself. Are there any personal stories that you have where your own confidence has faltered and how you've dealt with them, or maybe not dealt with them as well as you would have liked?
I mean, there's so many. I mean, this is the reason I'm doing this, because I experience this all the time. Like, my confidence is in tatters loads, but I manage myself through it. So I don't allow myself to get too stuck. So when, you know, my confidence feels low, honestly, it is really around acceptance. And like, you know, I had a session in surf, I think it was on Sunday, and it's the time of the month. It's also being really accepting where you are in your cycle as well, and like forgiving yourself and like letting yourself off the hook. And I knew, you know, it's that time of the month, I'm going to be feeling a little bit more protective over my body. It might not work out for me today. You know, I really lowered my expectations, but I still didn't lower them enough because I was still a bit upset afterwards, like not crying, but I was just a bit disappointed. But I think because I had already manage my expectations. I'd already said, look, it is that time of the month, like this might be happening for you. You might just not get on as many waves. You might pull off the waves. You might not take all the opportunities you can. So just prepare yourself. I think because I did that, I wasn't as devastated as I maybe could have been in the past. I just really try and practice what I preach and prepare. Like I set intentions. I do my breathing exercises when I'm in sea if I start to feel a bit anxious. You know, some people are like, oh my God, you must be so confident. But that's just not, you know, I'm affected just as much as other people are. But I think the difference is I might not necessarily get quite as stuck because I have the tools to coach myself out of it. So I kind of let those phases of when I'm feeling a little less confident, I just kind of let myself go through those phases and I go through them maybe a little bit smoother than people that fight or reject those stages when they're in them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. What about coming back after injury? Because I think, you know, there's one thing that's a set of confidence issues that maybe come naturally from, you know, your own experience, your personality, you know, your general kind of attitude to trying new things. So, you know, I know that there'll be things where I may be just nervous about trying them and then, you know, I'll get into it and I'll give them a go. But I definitely know in all three sports, when I've had big injuries, it's a slightly different thing because it's almost like programmed experience in my body to know that that thing can have more serious implications. Yeah. How does that work differently? Because it is a different type of confidence faltering moment, I think.
Yeah, it is. It's really different. And I think when you've had a physical injury, there will also be an emotional injury there. So as much as we have our physical body, we have an emotional body. And we can't forget that that also needs to heal. And often the physical injury heals before the emotional wound. So it's, you know, I mean, it's a lot of people don't like to hear this, but it really is about patience. It's about taking it really easy. It's about not making the mistake and rushing back to the conditions that you were surfing before your accident. So you really have to, it's not starting from scratch, but it is, again, like we were talking about before, like re-establishing that relationship, because you're not the same surfer anymore. You're actually a different surfer now. And it's as much as you would have like an incident or like a conflict with a loved one and your trust has been broken, like the same thing's happening with the ocean, like that trust has been broken. So you have to rebuild it and that takes time. So, you know, sometimes it's really like going back in even without a board, having a splash about and just really noticing emotions as they're coming up, like, oh, okay, I've noticed that this fear is coming up, because we'll be, when we get in the sea, that will be being re-triggered depending on like how severe the incident was. Even just seeing a wave coming towards us, might not even be a big wave, can just re-trigger that fear. And sometimes we feel it as intensely as we did during that incident. So it's being really, really gentle with ourselves and not pushing ourselves too much out of that comfort zone and just taking baby steps. So it's like, take a bodyboard in, go and splash about like a kid again, like rediscover that joy with the ocean, and don't go out in like 6 foot waves like you were surfing before immediately, because you're gonna just re-traumatize yourself again.
Obviously, as we've discussed, there's a lot of women suddenly considering coming to these different sports later on in life, you know, maybe never having done it, or, you know, having done it when they were much younger and coming back to it. What would be your advice about getting into it, how to get more out of it when it comes to confidence?
First of all, it's like incredible that more women are coming to this sport. I think that this is what the sport needs and it's just really going to change the lineups. And I absolutely love it. So I encourage it with my whole heart. I would say, like, don't let fear hold you back too much. I think a healthy level of fear is good, because like we have to kind of have that scary incident so that we develop respect for the ocean. There's a tool that I like to use and that I kind of talk about in my workshops, which is like scale of discomfort tool, and you can use it in life as well. It's quite a life coachy thing. A lot of life coaches will use this, and it's just checking in with yourself, like when you're first starting out, like am I either pushing myself too much or not pushing myself enough. And if you imagine like a scale from 1 to 10 and think of like 9, 8, 9, 10 is like the danger zone, and then 1, 2, 3 is like the comfort zone, and that you want to be in that 5 zone, like maybe 5, 6 zone. And when you're in the sea and, you know, you're kind of first starting out, like just like check in with yourself, like where you're at. Like, have you actually gone out back and you're in this like 9, 10 zone and feeling like levels of discomfort that are like really overwhelming? And in that case, like you might want to kind of like come back to the white water and just, you know, like not push yourself too much, because you're not going to actually learn new skills if you're in an activated state like that, because yeah, your nervous system is activated. And even if you do manage to get a wave, you're probably not going to remember how you did that because your body is just in survival mode. Yeah. And then, you know, if you're on the 1, 2, 3 area, if you feel like, you know, you're having a great time, but you're feeling quite comfortable and you're just doing the same thing over and over again, that might mean you're not pushing yourself enough. So if you do want to progress and start learning a few more skills, like just push yourself a little bit towards that 5, 6 zone. And it just means that you will feel levels of discomfort, but they're not overwhelming levels. It's basically, that's the ideal area for growth, if you just push yourself a little bit out of your comfort zone. And saying that, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with just hanging out in that comfort zone if that's what you want to do. Like there's nothing wrong with that. So yeah, that would be my advice, I think, checking in with yourself.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on today. I really enjoyed chatting to you. And as I say, like everything that I've discussed with you just really aligns with my own thinking around it. So it's so lovely to see something so specific in this space that you're developing, because I think it's really needed. Are there any final plugs or anything that you want to give for your website or any sessions you've got coming up or anything like that?
Yeah, just check me out on Dani Unway Therapy on Instagram. Like I put loads of content up there, so any support is welcomed on my mission to raise awareness for people's emotions in the sea. Oh, and out of the sea, I guess, as well.
So that was my chat with Dani. What I really loved was she talked very honestly about managing your attachment to expectations when it comes to doing these sports. And I really related to that because I'm definitely in one of those periods of my own of trying to accept that I haven't progressed as much as I'd like in some of them and trying not to get cross with myself. So I felt that that was really honest and something people will relate to. If you liked this conversation as well, it'd be great if you can review it or share it with your friends, because it does help to get it out there. We've got this really big vision for Bored Women, and if you want to be part of it, do check us out on Bored Women on Instagram and boredwomen.co. I'll be back in a couple of weeks when I'll be talking to the brilliant Zoe DePass, founder of Dress Like a Mum, but she's also known for her enthusiasm for snowboarding, and she's begun running her own women's retreats in the last year.